Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. You know, some of us are video, some of us are audio, some of us are more sight-oriented, you know. Some of us, we got to see it to get it. So we try to cover all those different avenues. And so if you need a handout, certainly we want you to have one this morning. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 17. He says, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's at the end of the book. We've been going through the book. And now we're at the end of the book, and he says in verse 17, hey, Timothy, I want to remind you of something here. Charge them, Paul said, charge them, exhort them. You know, in other words, encourage them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, arrogant, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then verse 18, he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And you know, there's a verse that that I want to look at. It's at the top of your handout, and it's a quote from the lips of Jesus Christ. Paul is quoting Christ in Acts 20:35, and here's what he said Christ said. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Can you say that with me? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what does the word blessed mean? And I think we all know kind of what it means. We say, man, I sure was blessed the other day, right? Or we'll say, man, let me tell you about this blessing in my life. And what we're saying is, it's something that brought joy to us, something that brought happiness to us, something that really pleased us. And we say, let me tell you about this blessing, you know, that I had. Well, Jesus said, it is more blessed. Now, the idea to me of more blessed is that if I'm more blessed, it indicates that I've already been blessed, because I can't be more blessed unless I've been blessed. Did y'all catch that? All right, you got the idea, right? I can't be more blessed until I've been blessed. So the idea there is if he says it's more blessed, then the idea is that Jesus is saying that I am more blessed. I'm already blessed, but I'm more blessed when I learn how to take my existing blessings and I learn to share them with others. We don't hoard them. We don't keep them all for ourselves. He's saying, no, it's more blessed to take those blessings and share them. We're not hoarding them. Read the funniest story this week about this dog. It was a chocolate lab, and this guy took the chocolate lab with him golfing, and he said the dog got loose, and he didn't know about it, and the dog, he rushed him to the vet because the chocolate lab dog ate a golf ball. And so he took him to the veterinarian, and when he got to the veterinarian, they found out he did not swallow a golf ball. He swallowed 7 golf balls. Obviously, they were tasty, huh, right? He liked them. He liked the taste of them. And he said, it's funny because the owner said chocolate labs tend to be very greedy. And it's like he found him a bucket of balls, and it was like, they're mine. Nobody else's. Nobody else touched my golf balls. They're mine. Let me tell you something. Do y'all think that chocolate lab was wishing he'd have shared his golf balls, huh? Yeah. When they're cutting him open, pulling out them golf balls, he's thinking, man, maybe I should have shared. You know? And you, the idea here is you're not like that lab. You don't just gobble up all the blessings and keep them for yourself. He says, no, you share those blessings. It's more blessed when you learn how to share those. In other words, I have the attitude that I am blessed in order that I might be a blessing to someone else. How many of you would honestly, I mean, no, not just like, you know, just saying it. How many of you really feel in your heart that God has blessed you? You believe that? Do y'all feel blessed today? You know, you may not feel blessed, but the reality is we are blessed. We are. You know, I was amazed. He talks about those that are rich in this world. And I think our first reaction is, that's not me. I'm not rich in this world. You know, I'm not wealthy. And our first gut reaction is when he says, charge them that are rich in this world. We think, well, that's not me. He's not talking to me there. I'm sure not rich. We think that's not me. But the reality is that if you are a person earning $10,000 a year, then that means that you are in the upper 9% of everybody living on earth by income. If you earn just $10,000 a year, you are in the upper 9% on earth by income. Western Christians, I don't think we really realize how blessed, I don't think we realize how blessed we are and that we are some of the wealthiest people in this world. And yet, the question is, are we sharing those blessings as our text commands? To whom much is given, what does that verse say? To whom much is given, much is required. We've been blessed with a lot. I mean, most of us in here drove a car here, right? Most of us got electrical appliances. You know, that puts us in the upper 9% of everyone living on the earth. I thought this was interesting that they surveyed 11 mainline denominations. They profiled 11 mainline denominations. Now, we're not part of a denomination, but I thought that this was interesting just to kind of give you an idea of America. They surveyed 11 mainline denominations in America, and they found out that the per capita giving per person was 2.5% of their income. And what's interesting about that is that they did the same survey during the Great Depression in 1933, and the giving was higher during the Great Depression than it is now. Amazing. It was 3.3% then. It actually went down today. We're blessed. Many people are blessed. But they live their whole life using all their blessings on themselves, and then they die. What a wasted life. What a wasted life. And Christian, I want you to know that that is not God's plan for your life. Jesus' words, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," are just as true today as they were when he first spoke them. It is still more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know the Bible says, can anybody, you Bible scholars out there, fill in the blank. God loves a what kind of giver? Good, a cheerful giver. Now, have you ever wondered why God would love that? Why would God love a cheerful giver? I'm going to tell you exactly why. It's because God is a giver. I said God is a giver. Amen? He is. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his best. God is a giver at his heart. He is a giver. He loves to give. And God absolutely loves it when his people get it. He loves it that when we get that thing, when the light clicks on, he delights in it. He is overjoyed when his children get a hold of that principle that it's more blessed to give than to receive. God is just so pleased. That's why it says God loves a cheerful giver, because he's a giver. And he loves it when his people get that. And that's what this text is about, really. He's charging those that have some stuff. And he says, I want you to remember some things about this. He's encouraging these blessed believers to not forget where their blessings have come from. What a great thought for Thanksgiving week. You know, I didn't really plan it this way. It just so happens this is where we're at in 1 Timothy. And it worked out so perfect with this being Thanksgiving week coming up, because every believer needs to live in the reality of God's blessings every day. Not just Thursday, not just this week, not once a year, not twice a year. I'm going to tell you some folks, if you know the Lord and you're on your way to heaven and you've been forgiven of your sins, and friend, listen, you need to live in the reality of God's blessings every day of your life. How can we do that? Well, there's three key questions that we need to answer honestly. And I want you to seek to answer these questions honestly. The first question is this. The first question is, where do my blessings come from? Now, you say, Pastor Dan, why is that question important? Here's why it's important. Because how you answer that question is going to reveal the attitude of your heart. It's going to reveal your mindset. It's like years ago, I was watching football, and they showed a commercial for that cartoon, The Simpsons. And they're sitting down at the dinner table on this commercial, and this is the clip they showed on the commercial. They're sitting at the table, and the little boy says, "Hey, Dad, shouldn't we give thanks to God for our food?" And then the dad replies, why should you thank him? I'm the one that worked for it. Now, would y'all agree that reveals a mindset? Amen? Right? It's, hey, I work for this. And is it possible for human beings to get that mindset? Yes or no? Yeah. Is it we think I work for it? And we begin to think, well, my intellect's what got me this. My keen, sharp business sense got me this. You know, my diligent, hard work and pulling myself up by my bootstraps, I'm the one that did this. Or we think it's my winning personality that got me this wealth. And we begin to think it's us, that we're the source of all of our blessings. It's because of me I got all these blessings. But he reminds them, look at verse 14 or 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who, notice, giveth us richly. And what's the next two words? All things to enjoy. Does anybody in here, any Bible scholars, want to take a guess on what all things means in the Greek? All things. Good. We got some Bible scholars. Good. Yeah. When he says God gives you all things, he literally means all things. It is clearly God's grace that's given you everything you hold. It's clearly God's grace that's given you everything you hold. How many of you guys have clothes on your back today? I hope everybody says amen to that. Who gave you those clothes? Not a trick question. The verse says, God's given you all things. Did you drive a car here today? Truck? Van? Who gave you the car? God. Whatever you ate today, whatever food you put in your mouth, you say, I haven't yet. That's why I'm hoping you won't be long-winded, Pastor Dave. I'm hoping to do that. All right. The food you've eaten or will eat, who gave you that food? God. You left an apartment or a house or a condo or some roof over your head probably to come here this morning. Who gave you that abode? Who gave you that? God. God. God gives us richly all things. You know, Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What are you today? You say, I'm retired. Woo-hoo! Hey, by the grace of God, you live to see retirement. You say, I'm a professional. By the grace of God. I'm a college graduate. By the grace of God, you graduated college. I'm a homeowner. I'm a retail business owner. I'm a city employee. I'm this, I'm that. By the grace of God, you are that. By the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. You know, God told his people, Israel, in the Old Testament, he said, the Lord your God. He said, it is the Lord your God that gives you power to get wealth. They forgot that. They forgot that. And it led to their demise. And as grace believers, I'm afraid that we can forget too. I mean, would y'all agree that's not just an Old Testament problem, is it? Israel forgot that it was God that gave them power to get wealth. And that's not just an Old Testament Israel problem. That's called human nature. We can all tend to forget that, can't we? We can all struggle with that. We can all forget where our blessings come from. So easy to forget. Where do my blessings come from? Great question, huh? To believe that they come from anywhere other than God, Paul said, is to be high-minded. It means arrogant. To believe anything else is to be arrogant. Why? Because you think you're the source. And we don't understand that truth that all things come from God. And when you live in the reality of God's blessings every day, not just Thanksgiving week, but when you live in the reality of God's blessings every day, you know what happens? You give cheerfully back to God because you recognize that everything you have comes from God. So you don't begrudge it. You want to give back. You're like, man, I am blessed and I want to give back. I, for sake of an illustration here, imagine, I want you to just imagine with me for a moment that somebody gives you a $500 Dunkin' Donut gift card. Some of you, that'd last a whole 3 days, wouldn't it? Amen. You frequent that place, right? Or Starbucks or whatever, you know. But they give you a Dunkin', let's just say Dunkin' Donut, $500 Dunkin' Donut gift card. And then you happen to see them in Dunkin' Donut, the person that gave you the gift card. And they've got a small coffee and a donut hole. And they begin doing this and they realize, much to their dismay, that they left their billfold at home. And so they look at you and they say, man, I am embarrassed. I left my billfold at home. Do you think you can help me out with this? And you look at them, the one that gave you that gift card, and you say, forget it. It's my Dunkin' Donut gift card. It belongs to me. Man, it's mine. Is that what you do? Unless you're a little dumb, right? No, you give to them. How do you give to them? You give what? Cheerfully. Why? Because you realize they're the very source of all your Dunkin' Donut blessings. Right? You're like, man, not just a small coffee donut. Man, get whatever you want. Get one of each, you know? You're the source of my Dunkin' Donut blessings. So I give cheerfully to you. I don't begrudge it at all. And in the same way, you have to recognize that every blessing you have is a gift from God. All things. Say that with me. All things. All things he's given to you. He is the one that gave it to you to begin with. So why would I begrudge it when he's the one that gave it all to me to begin with? That's the first question, is where do my blessings come from? The second question you have to ask yourself is this: where is my trust? Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. And then he says, nor trust in what kind of riches? Uncertain riches, but in the living God. You know what the danger of wealth is? It's not that wealth is wrong. We are in the upper 9%. I think probably most of us in here, we're in the upper 9% of all 7 billion people living on the earth. We're in the upper 9%. As far as wealth goes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you cannot help where you're born, you know, and you cannot help that. That's not what's wrong. Here's the danger. Wealth can breed an attitude of self-reliance and independence. Jesus coined this phrase. This is a Jesus phrase. The deceitfulness of riches. Wealth can deceive people into living like they don't need God. Wealth can deceive people into living like they don't need God. And truly, here in America, most of us in here are not like a lot of people in the world. Most of us in here are not wondering where our meal is going to come from tomorrow. We're not wondering where food's going to come from tomorrow. A lot of the world is. We're not. There are people in this world, their baby is sick, and they have no idea, they have no way to be able to get any medicine. So all they can do is seek God. Their baby is sick right now as I speak. They have no way to get, they can't go to a drugstore. There's no drugstore to go to. There is no money to get medicine. There are people in this world that right now, they're living in some shack, or they're living in a mud hut, or they're living in an abode where it's pouring down rain, and they're afraid that their house is going to be washed away. These aren't things we think about or deal with. And so what can happen is it can deceive us into thinking we really don't need God on a daily basis. I don't need God. I got everything I need. What do I need God for? And when Jesus told the parable of the rich fool that I told y'all last week in Luke 12, you remember what I told you? The problem was not the fact that the man had wealth. The problem was an attitude problem. It wasn't that the guy was rich. That wasn't the problem. It was that he was trusting in his wealth instead of trusting in God. And then it was gone overnight. God said to that man, he said, tonight you're going to die. Then whose are those things going to be that you have laid up in store? And you know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the uncertainty, the Bible says, uncertain riches. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about Paris. And I thought, those people that died recently in those attacks in Paris, you realize they were at restaurants, at theaters, enjoying a concert, at a football game, and they woke up in the morning and they left their house to go to a concert or to go to a football game or to go to a restaurant, and they left their home never dreaming they would never see their house again. Never dreaming they would never see their stuff again. They'd never see their bank account again. They'd never see any of that stuff ever again. They left their home, and I'm sure that never crossed their mind that today thy soul will be required of thee. The uncertainty of riches. To get caught up in just accumulating stuff is ridiculous. The grace giver doesn't build their life around the accumulation of wealth, but builds their life around their relationship with Jesus Christ. Be honest with yourself. What do you love more? Your money or Christ? Your house or Christ? What do you love more, your car or Christ? God simply wants you to love him more than anything else. He doesn't care if you have a nice car. He doesn't care if you got a house. He doesn't care if you got money. That's not it. But he wants you to love him more than any of that other stuff. He wants you to love him more. And in your handout, it says he wants to be the center of your trust, your love, and your affection. He wants you to trust in him, not in wealth. You say, Pastor Dan, I think I love Christ more than all those things you mentioned, but how can I know for sure? That brings me to my last question. The third question that you need to ask yourself is this: why do I live? Why do I live? Why do I live? Verse 18 is the response to the truths of verse 17. Hey, do we believe that God's given us everything? Do we believe that our trust is in God? Do we believe that we ought to love God more than anything else? Well, if we do, verse 18 is how you respond. Verse 18, look at it. He says, notice that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, to share. You see, giving is a demonstration of our love for Jesus Christ. Why do you give presents to your loved ones at Christmas? Because you love them. You love them. That's why you're going to give a present next month to your kid or your grandkid or your spouse. Because you love them, you give to them. And that's what he's saying right there. The ultimate proof that you really believe, points one and two, the ultimate proof that you really believe that all things are from God, that you really believe that your trust should be in God. Well, the ultimate proof of that is that your walk matches your talk. The grace giver doesn't just talk about it. You see the proof of his love for Christ by the way he lives. Verse 18 is explaining how a spirit-filled believer enjoys the worldly riches God's given to him. How do you enjoy it? How do you enjoy your stuff? Well, verse 18 says, you do good with it. In other words, you use your resources to do good for others. Number two, he says you're rich in good works. You do good works. You know what the attitude is for a spirit-filled Christian? Is that more wealth equals more opportunity to do good. That's all. That's the only way I view it. It's not, well, more wealth makes me above you. More wealth makes me better than you. More wealth means more stuff for me. More, you know, no, to a spirit-filled Christian, it's like, you know what? More wealth equals more opportunity for me to do good for other people. Always being ready, always being willing to give, that verse says. Always ready to share your blessings with others. And the bottom line is this. I'm going to just summarize it. Let's bring it up on the screen. You live to give. That's the bottom line. Is that, you know, why do I live? And what he's saying there is that a Christian should live to give. You know, we can say that we believe that our trust should be in God, and we could say that we believe God gives us all things. But if we're greedy and we're selfish and we're stingy and we live to please ourselves, then we truly haven't come to understand those truths. And God's going to keep working with you until you get it, because he loves you and he wants to be close to you. And you know what? You can continue to prosper materially, but you'll be miserable in other areas until you realize that Christ is your only resource. It's like I was reading an article. It was talking about inheritance and all that. And a lot of people are like, oh, Pastor Dan, let me tell you, man, if I could get enough money, I'd be happy. And a lot of people dream of inheriting a windfall, convinced it's going to light up the path to Easy Street. And this article I read says, you talk to inheritors and wealth counselors and they'll say an inheritance often causes more trouble than it solves. Money is a magnifier. Unprepared, he said, it can enhance problems. Unprepared or uneducated heirs are susceptible to all sorts of afflictions, including profligate spending, loss of identity, guilt over receiving money they didn't earn. He said, I see a high similarity among inheritors to professional athletes and lottery winners. In a year to 18 months, everything falls apart. Marriage, finances, addictions. What am I saying? What's that article trying to say? Money is not the answer to life's issues. It's not. It's learning where our blessings come from. It's trusting in God. It's loving God. It's loving people. It's learning to give. Ephesians 4:28 is in your handout. Look at it with me. It's very insightful. Look at Ephesians 4:28 in your handout. It says, let him that stole steal no more. But rather, you talk about, you know, these people had come from a rough background. He said, hey, you that stole, steal no more. But rather let him labor, work for a living. And then he says, working with his hands the thing which is good. And why are they supposed to work and earn an honest living? That he may have to what? Give. To give. To give. He says you live to give. And that's the attitude of a godly believer today. You view your resources as an opportunity to manifest the grace of Christ. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Matthew 10:18? Freely you have received, freely give. Do we live in the reality of God's blessings every day? Thanksgiving week, it's a great opportunity for us to be reminded that we need to be living in the reality of God's blessings every day. And there's three key questions. We said, number one, the first question is this. Where do my blessings come from? Where do they come from? I hope that you can honestly say today, and you can honestly answer that and say, man, everything I have, God has given to me. The second question is, where is my trust? And hopefully you can say, my trust is in God. It's not in my stuff and my wealth. The third question is, why do you live? And hopefully you can say, man, I live to give. I love to give. The result of that kind of life will be revealed in heaven. You're investing in things of eternal value. Everlasting joys will be yours as you get to behold for all eternity the eternal dividends of your giving. Look at verse 19. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's a statement in your handout at the bottom. I'll end with this. It says, what you keep, you lose forever. But what you give away with a right heart will turn into eternal fruit that you will enjoy forever.